Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, the craziest thing that's going on in our nation today is there's a group of people that hate America. They hate America. They hate the way that America is. They hate the capitalistic society, and we've been talking about that. They really want to bring socialism and communism here. They want to take from the rich and then give to the poor, and then everybody is going to be on the same level. And in other words, everybody going to be poor except those few rich people. You're not going to stop. You're not going to stop rich folks from being rich. It's just who going to be rich. It's who going to be rich and who going to be poor. I kind of like the way it is now. If you want more money, you go out there and work. If you got to work two jobs or three jobs, you can be whatever you want to be here in America. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a school teacher, you just got to roll up your sleeves and you got to work hard. If particularly if God then gave you the gift, if God then gave you the ability, then you'll be what God then intended you to be. But if God didn't intend for you to be that, then I don't care what society you in. It just wasn't meant to be. So, because God is sovereign. God choose who going to be our parents. He choose who's who. But the thing that we have here in America in terms of economic, it's not like it is in India. If you born poor, you're going to die poor. If you born in the rich class, then you can just about die in the rich class because they have the caste system. Well, in communism, they have different regulations. They put a cap on what you can make. But in America, man, the sky's the limit. I like the way that we have it, but there's people out there that want to overthrow America, and that's what this preacher is talking about today. So let me just get on out of the way and let you listen to Shane Eidelman as he talks about the destabilization of America.
There's another news story. CNN sticks to the liberal script, ignores all the black police officers killed in riots. Did you know that? If this upsets you, maybe it should. If you're not liking what I'm saying, it's probably because you need to hear what I'm saying. That's not journalism. That's lying and that's deception, and they should not even be journalists. When you start to skew things and remove things and have an agenda, that's called lying. And God is not pleased. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. The spiritual condition of our nation is at stake. And Joe Biden, God bless his heart, he had the audacity to say that, and I quote here, racism is a white man's problem. No, racism is a sin problem. It's a sin problem. See how they do that? They want to initiate fear. You know what happened with George Floyd? I'm not going to say a lot on that because it was a travesty, but if the news would just said a bad person killed an innocent person, you would not have the racism issue. But see, because they make it certain things, They make it about skin color. They make it about the racial war. That's what is fueling it. However, on that note, I want to just say here a few things. What black people wish white people knew, and vice versa. Black people wish that we knew, and me and Pastor Abram have talked about this extensively, and those of you might be watching online, we actually, our associate pastor is black, and we have a great friendship, and we talk about these things and are united in this. But we need to understand that racism runs deep in our country. It was not a good thing. Unless you're black, you don't know how it was or is to be living here because of what has happened in the past. Many of you know Tony Evans, who we have on our radio network. He actually was not allowed to go on the radio in the 1980s because of his skin color. Henry Hearns, who I know here locally, many stories he would tell. There's a racism there. There is, from our nation's history, that is not good. And it has to be identified, it has to be corrected, it has to be repented of, and apologized for when warranted. Okay? And it is real, and if you're not black, you can't relate. We need to stop saying, "Oh, I know how you feel." No, we don't know. We have to realize that. But what whites wish blacks knew is that for years, revisionists have been rewriting history. Did you know that not all founding fathers were slavery owners or believed in slavery? Did you know that people fought for the abolition of slavery? White people? Founding fathers abhorred the practice of slavery. William Wilberforce spent 30 years getting it eradicated. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but I'm going to. The Democratic Party was the party for slavery. Okay, do your homework. I don't care what side. We are a place of truth and facts. The Republican Party, I believe, started in a schoolhouse. I'm not getting political, I'm just telling you the truth. They started in a schoolhouse for the purpose of removing slavery. Now, look, see, but they won't tell you that. They won't tell you that. And we are starting to feel the dynamic too. That's why I'm saying we need to be united in a united cause. It's not about black and white issues. It's about Christians uniting for the cause of Christ. And we don't see skin color. We see our hearts. As a final point of application here, I want to encourage everyone listening, don't take my word for it, but please just read the mission statement of Black Lives Matter. Just read what they teach. Read what they believe. The abridged version, the promotion of transgenderism among the youth and homosexuality, a disdain for the father in the home, dismantling of the family unit, pro-abortion. They just raised $40 million in 48 hours and no one seems to know where that money went. I'll tell you where, it's a fundraising arm of the Democratic Party. This is all just facts. And if you don't like it, then you're being convicted of the truth. See, I love the title, All Lives Matter. Black lives definitely matter. Let's get on the same page, let's unite. But I cannot be part of an organization that is for the slaughtering of children and goes against God's word. And just, you can find it on YouTube. It's amazing what is happening during all this. Joel Osteen comes out, marches with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and he says, "You know what? This got me so upset. I'm finally getting a little political." Well, Joel, where were you when 60 million children were slaughtered since the 1970s? Where were you when they were trying to redefine marriage? Where were you? The cry goes out to all pastors. Where are you? You're not trying to be political. You're trying to appease your audience. Wake up, America. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. We need pastors who are faithful to the Word of God. Not passive. I love what I saw on Facebook, and I know I'm going to mess it up, but it said something like this: we need faithful pastors, not careful pastors. It's the careful pastors who write biographies of the faithful pastors decades later who stood and did something for our nation. We have to be faithful. And please, I'm not angry at all. I'm not angry at all. You know what? Pastor Abram, after the first service, he said, "Don't hold back a thing." America needs to hear that. And that's from a black preacher. See, we know. We've got to hear the truth. How do you overcome evil? With the truth. Spoken in love. I'm defriending people on Facebook left and right. No, I tell them, listen, I'm no longer tippy toeing and walking on eggshells because you might get offended that we support the president. Grow up. In the 1940s, your age went to war in World War II. Think about that. I just did a memorial service for a World War II veteran who was enlisted by his mom at the age of 17. You get someone now at 17, 18, have to go cry and hide because the wrong person is elected in office. Parents, you need to take the responsibility. You have raised the snowflakes. You have raised the millennial generation. God, this sermon's getting me in trouble. So yeah, it's easy for you to say. The application here is, what does God wish we all knew? That all people are created in God's image. Did you know there's racism within the Hispanic community, and Asian community, and Black community, and white community? Why? Because this group hates this group. This group hates this group. This group hates this group. Even white people hate white people. Right, because it's a sin issue. Just the way you look, people don't like you. I mean, look how I look. And people say, Shane, you need to, they're going to think you're Peckerwood or white supremacist. I mean, look at how you look. And those people don't even like me. See, those people don't even like me because I preach the truth. I call them out too. I call out sinful, arrogant hearts. Hope that's a good word. I don't know. But that's what they say in jail. So, anyway, when I go to visit people in correctional facilities, and it's an interesting environment there. And we actually have a lot of about 150 prisoners listening to these messages in correctional facility in California City and different places through our radio network. So we love that group of people. We pray for them. But my whole point was, we are created in God's image. Racism comes from a sin of the heart. It's not white versus black. It's good versus evil. That's what you're seeing. So watch out when they make this about skin color. Because this is not about that. It's about people created in the image of God. So the stability, we have to stabilize with accuracy, with right information. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this next point, but I just want to say this. We need to stabilize with accountability. What is accountability? We need to hold people to it. And see, that's what sometimes we do. We get too offended. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Just quiet, Shane. Just quiet. You know, nobody's held accountable. So you have all these politicians can do whatever they want, say whatever they want, all these groups can say whatever they want, and no one is held accountable at all. And it's sad. I'll give you just an example. Many of you know of the man, the poor man who they found hung in Palmdale. I'm talking with the mayor and black pastors who want to get together. He hung himself in Palmdale recently. And they want to, you know, obviously investigate his murder. It's a potential suicide, they're not sure. But someone posted and said there's a protest in support, you know, because he was murdered. And I called the person off saying, you don't jump there. That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. We don't know. We can't fuel these things. And see, there's no accountability. People can just do whatever they want. Isn't it amazing? If Twitter got a hold of what I'm saying, or YouTube, this sermon's toast. But they can plant child porn on the internet. They can allow these things. They can say ungodly groups to do whatever they want, say whatever they want. Why? Because when it comes to truth, when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, they don't want to hear it. They want you to bow your knee to them. But who do we, you know, I'm going to bow my knee like I did at the first service. I'm bowing my knee to Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. I serve notice, right? I will not bow my knee to a ungodly organization, to an ungodly movement. We bow our knee to Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is on the throne. God, we bow to you. We look to you and you alone. We will not bow to this culture. We will not bow to Baal. Yes, it may cost imprisonment. Yes, it may cost the lives, but the church was built on the blood of the martyrs, not on the cowardliness of pastors. There's a boldness. You gotta stop reading Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now, because you better read Fox's Book of Martyrs so you get prepared. My Lord. Help me. My Lord, help me. That way people won't think I'm using God's name in vain. I get those emails too. Stabilize with accountability. Here's why this is so important. Once the light of freedom goes out, it vanishes forever. Have you ever known where you give up things, you get them back in government? No. It was actually what fueled 1776, Boston Tea Party, and things like that, is freedoms were vanishing. So the application on that is to return to the accountability of God's truth. Fear God. Isn't it clear that these writers are not fearing God? We've lost the fear of God in our culture. We've lost the fear of God in the churches. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. The fear of God, see, that's why I'm praying for revival. Because when revival truly comes into a community or in a church, the fear of God permeates the atmosphere. It's not about fun and games. It's about having your face on the floor before God, saying, oh, and God, am I right before you? Give me clean hands and a pure heart. Let me not lift up my soul to an idol. If I've sworn deceitfully, Lord, who may ascend into the hill of your mountain, Lord, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart. God, we fear you, we look to you, we reverence you. And then finally, we stabilize with the authority of truth. We stabilize with the authority of God's word. Back to Joel, God said, awake, awake. He's telling, I'm motivated to go around and do that too. Get up, wake. Are you awake? The church is sleeping. She's dead in the house of the living God. But in Joel, he says, awake. Awake, you drunkards, and weep. Now, how would that apply today? Of course, alcohol, drugs, anything. But awake. Awake, you that are dead spiritually. You're being led by the wrong spirit. You're full of the spirit of this world. Awake and weep. See, those have to go together. You have to wake and you have to weep. And wail, all you drinkers of wine. So God says, for a nation has come against my land. He's talking about the locusts. A nation, a group, these locusts have come against my land. They are strong and without number. Their teeth are the teeth of a lion, and their fangs are fierce as a lion. He has laid my land to waste, and he has stripped bare everything. And then it says, surely, surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Do you feel like that now, or is it just me? Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. That's why I've got to get to prayer meetings. That's why I got to get to worship times, because that joy comes back when I refocused on Christ and Christ alone. So God says, do this, gird yourself up, meaning prepare yourself like a man. Men, maybe a message to you, lead your families. Get back in fearing God and leading them in the right direction. And lament, wail, wail who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. In a nutshell, how bad do you want it? Coming to church on Sunday is great, but that's not turning America around. God has to have you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. He's an all-consuming passion. And as you seek him, and as you consecrate a fast, and as you what he says here, lament and cry out to God, God will begin to hear. He said, call a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather all the elders. Gather all the elders and the inhabitants into the land, into my house, and praise my name. Gather everyone into the church, he's saying. Oh, wait, parentheses, unless there's a virus. Those translators got that one. But people say that. I'll run into them. Oh, Shane, man, it's so much easier sitting in my PJs watching on my laptop. Or people say, you know, Shane, COVID's out there. I know, but so is the lion. So is the lion roaring who seeks to devour. See, God says, come back, church. And churches are not going to be the same. Many people are not coming back from all churches. Like, they're shrinking because of all this. But sometimes God gets a remnant of people. Get rid of those who don't want me. Get rid of the half-hearted approaches. Get rid of the carnal Christians. Get rid of the Pharisees and let my remnant worship me and watch God move. And he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the holy alarm, cry out to the Lord. Basically saying, can you hear me now? Remember that Verizon commercial? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Your comfort is being robbed. Your convenience is being robbed. Finances are shaky. The housing market, who knows? Financial collapse, uncertainty, fear. Can you hear me now? Then God says, turn to me with all your heart, with all your strength, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Then he says, rend your hearts and not your garments. What does that mean? Rip open your hearts. I'm concerned in the church, not for the blatant sin, but for the sin we can't see. It's called spiritual pride. Did you know that spiritual pride is deadly? In the Christian, spiritual pride. The Christian sits in the seat of judgment and not the seat of brokenness. They come critiquing, not wanting to be encouraged. Their spiritual pride is deadly. God says, can you hear me now? Turn to me with all your heart. So now we know what causes destabilization. Let me, for just a brief, I'm going to close here shortly. Let me introduce you to the stabilizer, God. He says this, oh, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. I will remove that army from you. I will drive them away into a desert of desolation. Their stench has come up to my nostrils. His foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. So you see the people now doing monstrous things, haunting things, gruesome things. Thank you, guys. Grotesque things. You see all this, but God says, fear not. Fear not. Like he told Elijah, I have 7,000 people who have not bowed to Baal, nor kissed his image. Remember that story? Elijah goes running. This is amazing. He calls down fire on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal were executed, and God's word went forth, and God answered by fire. Let the God who answers by fire, let him be fire. Let him be God. And then he ran for his life. It's only me. It's only me. And God says, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal, nor have they kissed his image. That's what they used to do. They had their little statues. We see that today still sometimes. He goes, I have a remnant. And so what you need to do, my application on this, is the only way to get through this is to saturate your mind in prayer and worship and God's word. What happens? Many of you know this, some people don't. Your mind can actually be manipulated. Your mind can be conformed. You can actually shape your mind to the things of this world. That's why some of you have Christian kids or family members like, how can they believe that? That's so against God. Conform. Be not conformed to this world. They're not in the script. None of those people are in scripture. I guarantee it. I mean, broken, humble, repenting, reading the scripture. You have to saturate your mind in the word of God. So I'm just going to tell you what I did this week. I wrote down some scriptures and I just pour over them. It begins to strengthen me. And I don't have references, but let me just share some of this with you. Like Jeremiah, his word has been in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And God says, I have not sent some of these prophets, yet they ran. But I have not spoken to them, yet they spoke. But had they truly stood in my counsel, had they truly preached the authoritative, inerrant word of God, you would have saw the nation turn back to me. God says, ask for the old paths and you will find rest for your soul. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, exalt him and he will guide your path. The integrity of the upright will guide them. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When you pass through the waters, you will not be overcome. When you walk through the fire, they will not scorch you, not by might nor by power, but by Spirit, saith the Lord. But the people who know their God will do great exploits, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those hearts who are loyal to him. One thing have I desired. I love what David said. One thing have I desired. Can we say this? One thing. I don't want the house. I don't want the 401k. I just want one thing. One thing have I desired. What is that, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What can man do to me? And we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And I like what Joel closes with in Joel 3:16. Not John, Joel. It's the Eidelman paraphrase. If you think COVID and rioting is bad, wait till you see the final judgment of God. The buzz of the rioters will be muted by the Lord roaring from Zion. See, as much as we preach, God is merciful and God is graceful, be clear, there is a judgment. There is a judgment. Actually, it's often referred to in the Bible as God as a judge. The judgment of God. The righteous standard of God. The judgment is coming. There is a judgment coming. And we need to tell people that in love. And if it convicts them, good. We got to get back to that conviction. Go home and make you think about it type of sermon. Won't be to the sermon that comforts in sin. You know, that's how we got in this position. We comfort people in their sin. They come in, engulfed in sin, and they leave encouraged in their sin. Do you ever, you saw that movie, God Is Not Dead? Where it comes from is actually Nietzsche. I believe that's how it pronounces his name. He's an atheist. He actually said, God is dead. God is dead. I think it was the 1800s. Don't quote me on it. But God is dead. So the movie comes out, God Is Not Dead, to kind of offset that, but I'm not promoting the movie. It's interesting. He was so adamant. God is dead. There is no God. This is just our human intellect. It's what we can see. God is dead. But then they forget to read the what else he said. And I quote, but who will remove the blood from our hands? God is dead, but who will remove the blood from our hands? See, you can't run conviction. You can't run from conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is no doubt weighing on some people right now, listening online, listening even later. The Holy Spirit is convicting and drawing you to himself. Who will remove the blood from our hands? Well, that's a wonderful question, because we know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is no other hope. There is no other answer. Protests are not going to fix it. More police departments are. Nothing is going to fix America's problem except the blood of Jesus Christ. When we begin to repent and call on the only name that saves, that's how you change your heart. You change the heart of the nation.
All right, we're going to stop the message right there today. That was Shane Eidelman, and he was talking about the destabilization of America. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.